Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, January 14th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, bringing you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Use the link in the show notes to find it. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. Today on The Ether, we have the Nexus Reveals New Vault Strategy space hosted by Luna Amix and the boys at Orbital Command. Let's take a listen.
We're reorganizing and the different vaults that they put together. So we got about 5 minutes to shoot the breeze if anyone wants to talk. Before we get started, maybe... because this is already being recorded, I just wanted to, because I don't get a chance to talk a lot this past week. I've been super busy, so I haven't been able to do a space. But I just wanted to say thank you to Orbital Command for the Discord that they put together for Lunomix community. They did an amazing job, and I'm really appreciative of the guys there. Rebel DeFi, Joseph, Zion, they've put together really, the way they organized it and so quickly. And I think we're up to 1,700 members there in Orbital Command. And it's just a good resource. When we had the crash, it was just a great place to, in real time, to be able to just download and see how everyone's doing and managing their positions. So that was just a huge addition to our community. So thank you to Orbital Command for putting that together. Moderators in the Discord, Uniracer, really appreciate how, because I'm not in there a lot, but Uniracer has kind of studied everything. He knows everything just as good as I do. And he's been answering questions, and so is VUST. So I go into there. Into the Discord, and I'll just look for where my name is mentioned, and I try to answer the questions that when somebody does a @shegale, I'll do my best to answer questions and to jump into the conversations there. I'm not there a lot, but when I do, I just scroll through everything, and wherever I see the highlighted bar, I'll go ahead and answer. But I really appreciate Uniracer for being there and engaging in the community and answering questions to people that are new. It's crazy how quickly the Lunomix, I can't even say it, but the Lunomix Twitter, there's like 300 new people every day almost. And so there's a lot of new people that don't really understand the strategies and kind of the mindset behind what we're doing. So the more people that can contribute on that Discord, that's just really helpful. So appreciate that. I want to also, Jazzer, you've been super awesome with co-hosting and putting all those tweets up during the spaces. Really appreciate that. And Chad Thoreau as well. So thank you guys for just helping this community to grow, and even the new people that are coming on board, just to help onboard them and to answer questions. There's so many repetitive questions and tons of people that don't read the posted tweets. So so it's cool to have just a community of guys that are helping to onboard so many people that are coming. And I anticipate that in this next year, there's just going to be tons of people coming into the ecosystem as all these bridges are being developed. And we enter into this cross-chain world, there's just a lot of people that are going to be coming into the Terra ecosystem. And I think that, you know, strategy and how to use all these protocols is going to be a great niche to be in. And so thank you guys. I think that growth is, you know, I mean, it's everything is just exploding. So thank you guys. Take into consideration some of the details that I didn't.
Testing. Can anybody hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yep, we can hear you.
Yep.
Cool. Ivan, I think your Wi-Fi might be a little spotty. Did anybody else have any connection issues there?
Next week, we're going to be having two spaces. One is with Ed Plasko, and that's on risk management. He's done some great spreadsheets in the past, and we've been talking about how to. We did one space on how to leverage up when Luna's going up, but this is going to be a really important one. We're going to talk about and put together a spreadsheet on how to manage your risk on the downside, down to 75 to 78%. So that's going to be a really important call. And then the next space that we're going to do next week is with Danku R. There's been some banter back and forth with both me and him in the past week. And we've been talking offline, direct messaging, and we're going to do a space on just the difference of strategy between what he does and what I do. So that should be a fun one. Those both are going to be to be announced. And so sorry about the disconnection, Nexus. We got the Nexus team here. And really excited. We have we had a phone call just talking through some of the that 2022 strategy tweet that I did several weeks ago, and had some ideas of how to put an automated vault together that does some of the things that we talk about. So we scheduled this space. They're in the middle of a reorg, and so I invited them to come and share what they're doing. Super exciting stuff. I'm excited about what they're going to be doing there. Nexus was one of the first protocols, if not the first protocol, that dropped after Columbus 5. And so they've just been an integral part of the community, putting together the NLuna Vault, which was the first automated vault that manages your LTV for an anchor borrow of up to, I think it's like 47% now, that somebody can just use that vault to automate borrowing off of Anchor and then depositing it into Anchor Earn, so that you de-risk yourself from getting liquidated. And what was really impressive was during the December crash, that it withstood that crash and no one got liquidated that was using that NLuna Vault. So that proof of concept, you know, they proved that it worked. And so a lot of confidence in what they're doing and how they're putting everything together. Excited about what they're going to be sharing with us. Nexus, if you want to take the floor and.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you, Ivan, for hosting this, and thank you for everybody who is able to join. And also, you know, for those of you who are listening after the fact, don't worry, we're available on Discord and Telegram. We'll say that at a couple points throughout the call. And, happy to answer any questions that you have after the call there as well. So Ivan, can you also bring Shimmy up to the stage as a speaker? He's part of the Nexus team.
Should be connecting any second now.
Cool. All right.
Thanks, Jazzer.
I see him there. Great. Well, good evening, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. So we're super excited today. Typically, you know, if you've been following the Nexus Twitter account, we tend to not be super, you know, we don't like to shill things and we definitely don't like to hype things up unnecessarily, but we have been putting an incredible amount of work into what we're about to kind of talk through today. And so we're super excited to kind of walk you guys through that. The forum that we just tweeted and it's pinned to the top of our Twitter account will basically represent the updated roadmap for Nexus Protocol. So this forum will basically be replacing all prior forms of the Nexus roadmap. So like our light paper, any other place where you've seen like a copy of our roadmap before, this forum will be replacing that. And it'll be pinned to our website, replacing our light paper by end of day today. So the plan is to walk you through the products within the forum that we think will define and help define the future of Nexus. There's too much info to go through all on the call, all on this call. So we'll be talking through the top four priority products for us, and then we'll be opening the stage for Q&A. As part of the conversation, we will be emphasizing a branding shift in Nexus Protocol from being strictly an anti-liquidation product to being more of a holistic yield optimizer, which will strive to bring the community's DeFi imagination to life. As we get started, please take a minute to open the forum that we've posted on the Nexus Twitter account. We'll be guiding you through that document. So, and you should be able to access it from your phone or from your laptop. Might be a little bit easier to view on your laptop. Our team has grown considerably since the launch of our first products. This has allowed us to resource multiple products at the same time. If we were working with just the same team that we had at launch, resourcing these products at the same time would be impossible. Before we begin, one thing we want to mention is that we will likely be proposing a token design change, which will better align users with the long-term goals of the protocol, which is to generate profit. So I'm going to give people a minute to go ahead and open up the forum that we posted on our Twitter account. It should be called, and actually, Ivan, if you can do me a favor and pin that to the top of this Twitter Spaces, that would be fantastic.
Got it. Jazzer, are you on it?
Yep, it's the one that's your pinned tweet, right, Nexus?
Yep.
All right, you should see
it. Should be a link to our forum. Cool. We'll give people a minute to get into that. It should say Nexus 2022 plans at the very top. All right. Hopefully most of you have had a chance to kind of open that up and get into it. So as we've hinted on our Twitter, in 2022, Nexus will look radically different than it did in 2021. We've been actively working on the following initiatives, which we'll walk through momentarily. To understand how these products fit into the overarching strategy of Nexus, we have devised three categories for how we'll think about all future products. It struck us after going through this categorization process. Now, this system is actually very similar to how Yearn Finance structures their products. Yearn, if you're not familiar, has vaults for safer yields. Labs is where they store kind of more risky products that have higher upside potential, but maybe like bigger downside potential as well. And then what they call their Iron Bank, which I think is a clever name, but it's a money market. It's a money market on Yearn. So the three product categories that we have that we're going to be kind of talking through are vault labs, and LP money market, which we'll go into some more detail about. The other thing to kind of mention, as you're looking through the forum, each section below is a product. And so like at a high level, the surface information should just give you some high level information about that specific product. But if you click into that link, these individual links that have pink text. So like the first one, for example, is Mirror Short Leveraged AUST Farm. If you click into that, it'll take you to a separate page that is a deeper dive on this specific product and goes through a bunch of other information. But directly underneath the titles of each of the products, there's three pieces of information that we're using to kind of just give you a bird's eye view of what's happening with this product. So type, I just kind of covered, so Vault Labs and LP Money Market priority. So we'll describe products depending on where they sit in our priority list based on these three tiers. So primary, secondary, and then priority queue. So primary means that these products are receiving the full attention from the team. Secondary is they're receiving partial focus from at least one member on the team. Once primary priority products are completed, secondary products will be moved to priority. And then priority queue will be assessed for priority once the primary and secondary products have been shipped. And then status, this kind of just shares a little bit high level information about where this sits in terms of the development lifecycle. But actually, if you click into any of these and scroll down to the very bottom, you'll find a little bit more information about where these products sit in terms of development status. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of contextual information on how you can kind of navigate this forum. I guess one other thing to mention is if you click the Nexus icon at the top left hand corner, you'll see some other documents that are included here. So give the guidelines and FAQs a look through, and also read the Welcome to Nexus Protocol Research Forum as well for a good grounder. But we're super excited about this, and we expect this to become kind of a living, breathing document that we're going to update along with the community. And as development lifecycle for these different products progresses, we'll be updating these things live. So as I mentioned earlier on this call, we will take you through the top four priority products that Nexus is currently working on, starting with the Mirror Short Leveraged AUST farm, and then maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert at the very end. The fourth product that we'll talk about is the Luna Stacking Vault, which actually came from Ivan. So with that, I will hand it over to Shimmy, who is also, give him a follow. He is incredible. And we have an incredible team. So Shimmy, with that, could you maybe take us through some of these products and kind of go into some detail for the people about this?
Yeah, sure. Cheers, Sindra, for that. So let's go through a strategy by strategy, starting with a Mirror Short Leveraged AUST farm. It's a very lengthy word, we are aware, but we just wanted to give more concise and self-explanatory nomenclature for the product before we actually branding it into something more catchy. And to start, this mirror strategy is actually a substitute of our previous mirror vault, which was going to be a delta neutral strategy mirror vault. One of the biggest reason why we decide to push the priority of the delta neutral vault to low is because following the numerous simulation that we did on the historic datas on the mirror protocol incentives, we have concluded that it would be highly unlikely that the mirror delta neutral vault will be yielding much profit for the USD depositors. So for that logic, we dig into alternative method that we believe the community may find a useful, thus demand for the product, while providing a meaningful service to the community while benefiting the Nexus protocol as a protocol by embedding the justifiable business model within. So this is the alternative mirror strategy that we came up with. Opposed to the delta neutral, mirror short leveraged AUST farm, as you can sort of deduce from the name, is very directional bias strategy, where you will be in effect taking a short position, but in more effective and easier way, perhaps. The high-level idea of this strategy is that this strategy will basically automate process of you taking short on M asset utilizing AUS collateral. And we'll be providing a simulation tool and also leveraging tool within the product so that you'll be able to easily be able to sell see the risk of this making the position that you're about to make. And you can choose how much risk that you want to be exposed to. And also you can do a closing in very simple manner as well. And for this product, you're basically betting on the fact that your leverage yield of AUST will be outperforming the performance of the asset that you have shorted. So for example, I think MSPY is probably one of the most easy example. So it's a simulation that we did based on a numerous M asset, but MSPY is probably going to be one of the most widely used one, because the mirror collateral minimum collateral ratio is set 130% for MSPY, and you know, naturally lower the collateral ratio is, more effective your leverage is, and the MSPY is one of the most relatively less volatile asset that you can find amongst M asset. Although I will come back to the limitations and risk in the further later, but the you have to be aware of the shallowness of the liquidity may result in some inefficiency in terms of slippage, and also the depth of the premium exists on the as a like deviation between the Oracle price of M asset and actual price of M asset would actually dictate your additional profit. So basically, higher premium when you're making positions better. So with M asset, we're similar to M asset's annual appreciation 7%, and also taking into account of all the other fees involved in the transaction, including the 1.5% of the closure fee for Mirror Protocol. If the user does not only close the position once in a year, this position will result in 35% yield for the users. And this is assuming 7% appreciation. So if MSPY actually does not appreciate as much as 7%, or in fact depreciate, it's going to translate to more profit on top of the profit that we just simulated. Of course, however, there is a fundamental risk of your position, because you have shorted MSPY. So on the other hand, if MSPY prime appreciates, there is a chance that you may lose out in a principal asset as well. So that being said, it is definitely a directional biased investment decision that should not be considered as delta neutral strategy. This is one of the reasons why we put in the lab section rather than a vault section. And prior to launching this product, we'll take almost effort to let the user know all the risk factors that we think is relevant. And we will try to include it in most blunt and obvious manner as possible in UI UX interfaces. So in terms of the status, we complete the initial simulations and all the viability assessment for the strategy. And we have smart contract side of development has already been started. And in the meantime, we would love to hear any, as all of the other strategies, we'll actually appreciate and we'll love to hear any, we'll receive any feedback through forum will be very useful. About the product idea, any room for improvements, any other feature that you would love to see, we'll love to hear about it. So that was our Mirror Short Leverage AUC Farm. I'll move on to the other one. The second one is LP Money Market. It is a very interesting concept proposed by one of our newest research team member, Papelia. The high level idea is that. There has been a.
I think we lost him.
Yeah, let me shoot him a DM here. I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, Twitter's been experiencing some bugs related to like Android devices. So if he's got an Android device, what I've found works is if you leave and come back and then request. Yeah.
Okay, there he goes. Shimmy, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey, yeah, we can.
Okay. What was I cut out?
You were just saying that the LP money market idea came from Papelia.
Okay, sure. Sorry about that. I don't know why I'm being caught out. Okay, so this idea of LP money market, simply put, is to utilize LP tokens as collateral for money market. So it's basically creating a money market where the one user will be able to deposit LP token as collateral and borrow one of the paired asset utilizing the LP token as a collateral. Like one of the example will be the user will be able to deposit Luna UST and borrow Luna or UST from this LP money market. The justification, the reason why utilizing LP as a collateral is interesting. There's quite a few things, including, so LP is actually is yield generating and yield bearing almost, because every transaction that's made in LP, depending on how the LP contract is formed, all of it or the parts of it will be contributed to LP token holders. On top of that, many pairs are still, at least in DeFi 1, many pairs are still incentivized for the LP provider to participate to provide liquidity. So that being said, providing liquidity at the moment is yield generating process, and which can definitely be used in the money market. So in other words, your collateral is yield bearing, meaning that it's less likely that you will be liquidated, and two, you might end up repaying yourself a long time. And also the initial model that we are looking into it is any LP token with high liquidity that is paired with UST, meaning that the LP token paired with UST, the volatility is decreased of the UST side significantly, as UST is stablecoin pursuing the US dollar value. So that being said, one of the examples would be like if Anchor price goes down by half. I'm bullish Anchor. I'm not suggesting this will happen, but instead of Anchor UST, the collateral decreasing its value by same amounts is only going to decrease by less proportion, like roughly around 30%. So that being said, LP token actually is another feature that is derived from that is actually a great method to prevent any abuse in the money market that is normally involved, because one of the most abundant and obvious abuse case in the money market is by manipulating the price of either collateral or borrowed asset in the favor of the borrower who executed a money market, the lending and borrowing. So the utilizing LP token basically dictate that you can only borrow the asset that you have, part of the asset that you have deposited into. So basically manipulating the LP token price would actually eat into your own position, whether it's borrowed or not. And then on top of that, LP token, due to that, the fact that it's paired with UST, and also due to the fact the price depreciation, which is normally represented in permanent loss, is genuinely less decreasing than the straight spot position of the asset, like 50% of Anchor translating Anchor UST 30%. It is genuinely more difficult to manipulate the price of LP token rather than a single token. So actually this tendency of LP token being more safe from the money market abuse makes the creation of this LP money market much more feasible. Because one of the reasons why Anchor protocol, although it is not a money market protocol, it's more like a savings protocol, it has all the features that requires to be a money market, like price oracle system and liquidation participation system. One of the reasons why Anchor inserts a lot of effort utilizing the price oracle and also the attracting the external liquidation partners, participants to be precise. So for example, like currently the Kujira is serving as a platform to accommodate that kind of liquidation service to the mass in more easy format. One of the reasons why Anchor inserted that effort is to prevent such abuses that I mentioned. For example, if they use not price oracle but on-chain data, because the on-chain AM DEX is much easier to manipulate, users may manipulate the price of the underlying asset, which is Luna or Biluna. And also, if the liquidation is automated into a certain AM DEX contract, they may also be able to abuse that in conjunction with the price oracle manipulation. This is why the Anchor is actively utilizing various price oracles, receiving the price from many central exchanges, which they will be changing into a Chainlink oracle, which will serve a similar function in more decentralized and more stable way, hopefully. And establishing such infrastructure mechanism is actually a very hefty job. And I think that's one of the reasons why Mars is such a big project and is taking some time to be delivered. But whereas LP money market, because of the special characteristic that LP I just aforementioned, makes the production of the system a lot more feasible. So basically the LP money market, I think will be a fantastic opportunity to deliver the market, to deliver the community, the pseudo money market that can serve purpose in short term, medium term and long term. And the product can be delivered in a much more fast manner with less risk, practically. And the idea is that the, for example, the user one, there'll be a two set of users, the people who will be borrowing from this money market and people who will be providing the money to be borrowed, so the renders of this money market. The idea is that the renters of the money market will be attracted by the higher competitive yield of the alternative yield method of the asset they will be depositing into. For example, UST. The simulation that we did is that whether there's enough gap for the UST deposits to receive more than 50% of the anchor earn by depositing UST into the system, whilst making sure the people who borrow still receive sufficient yield back from LP token. And the current simulation on current data of the last month and a bit of data suggests that it is definitely possible with significant buffer still. So that's one of the logic that we we took this on the production level at the moment. So the UST yield that people can expect, TLDR, will be higher than significantly higher than anchor earn, which will be an incentive for the people to deposit UST. And the UST, once it's deposited, once it's not deployed into the money market, it will be yielding efficiently in anchor earn, and it will be called upon the deployment once it's been requested by the borrowers who deposit LP token. And of course, because the interest rate received from this money market participation is dynamic, because we'll be setting the parameter so that the people who are borrowing the deposit are also reaping some benefit of the LP farming. So that being said, the profit will be profit of LP farming will be shared between the people who borrow who rent the asset and who is borrowing the asset. So the if the LP farming yield is higher, the people who rented out the UST may earn higher interest rate than the simulation I just suggested, or can be potentially lower time to time. So the simulation we did is that going through the past data to see whether there's enough buffer that we can suggest that the expected APR of this UST yield will be likely to be substantially high or not. And our simulation said yes. And such concept will be expanded into V2, into the single asset such as Luna, Anchor, Psi, Mirror, Astro in the future. Well, we'll start from the version one with UST as a proof of concept to declare. And one of the other safeguards that we'll be implementing is that we'll be setting up LTB as per of the LP composition. What this means is that we will be setting the LTB at the 50%, meaning that if a user one deposited Luna UST, which is composed of like 500 Luna and 500 times 80, UST on the other hand, user will only be able to borrow the 40K worth of UST from the bag rather than the nothing more. So they are practically only borrowing up to the pair, one side of the pair they have deposited into. Of course, the LTV can be discussed and be adjusted through the governance in the future. But as a proof of concept, we wanted to keep it in the most conservative manner, just suggesting 50% LTV. And rather than a vague concept of the money market being interesting, how this can actually be utilized? We've done quite a few simulation on whether this LP money market will actually have any logical utilization, like rational utilization for the users of their own risk profile characteristics. So considering there might be people who want long or people who want short while on the asset they are farming, for both cases, TLDR is that the LP money market will offer them an interesting opportunity to either hedge or increase their leverage on long. The details, it involves quite a lengthy explanation, so I would suggest to read up on our LP money market forum, because I still got quite a few other products to go on, but
I think we may have lost him again.
Yeah, let me send him another DM. It's Twitter, man. It's not
you. Oh, is it? Okay, Twitter. Well, yeah. Glad I shorted Twitter. Anyway. So LP money market. So I think I would urge you to read up on the forum article if you have more chance, and ask any questions for clarification. Like Pupelia did a very lengthy and intense simulation, which we did not include everything on the post because it is way too many numbers and formulas. Then, it's quite difficult to read for most cases. So please keep us in. Would also appreciate feedback on this. We'd love to hear back. And the money market that we are building is the basic layer that we'll be building. And once this the LP money market is much like activated and actively used, we'll also be able to build quite a few interesting structured products on top of it, automating the strategy that I aforementioned for longing and hedging. The high level idea of that is also mentioned in the forum post as well. So I'll advise you to give that a read if you have a time. Cool. Next one is on-chain rebalancer vault. So this is the idea contributed by Asifi, and this is the idea that Lunomics, Ivan, briefly mentioned before this presentation. So high-level idea is that we'll be trying to create on-chain version of grid bot or gated IO bot or rebalancer bot, whatever the platform calls in, depending where you use it, like gate IO, KuCoin, or else. The idea is that this will be automated strategy to deploy your two set of assets and actively do a high frequency trading in the same strategy that grid trading is done. Great trip trading, simply to put, is buy low, sell high. In order to actually realizing the strategy, because I think I'll come to justification later, but the actual pair that we'll be working on will be Luna UST. I'll come to the justification on that later, but let's assume the user deposit 80% of Luna and 20% UST. And this proportion will be used as standard that will the vault will work towards rebalancing itself as position. So it's quite similar characteristic to LP pool in this respective, but the functionality and the trigger mechanism is very different. Thus, the risk profile is also different. And also, the vault will also have a predetermined deviation rate, for example, like plus minus 1.5%. Higher the percentage is, it's likely that you'll be getting bigger profit per transaction, but higher the percentage is likely that you may not, the transaction to make the profit may not happen as often. So it's important to find the ideal the plus minus deviation percentage for this kind of strategy, which we are planning to come up with suggested optimized strategy on the Luna UST pair, considering the historical data. And this deviation will be the standard to trigger the execution of the trading, like buy and sell action of this bot. And once the Luna UST is deployed, this we call it at the moment Nexus on-chain rebalancer vault, will observe the price action and execute a buy or sell trade depending on the weather condition is met. And the condition is basically as the price is fluctuating, whether the price is becoming greater than the standard in comparison to trend line that will be selected by the strategy. Again, the selection of the strategy will be initially suggested by the team with the justification and logic behind it, and we'll put it to go on proposal to upgrade it into the production and publishing. And once that trading is executed, like buy or sell, amount that is supposed to buy and sell will be determined by the initial standard that we mentioned, which is a proportion. So the actual trading trading action, like buy or selling, will stop if one of the other condition is met. So one, either the proportion 80 to 20% has been met, or the price fluctuation is no longer greater or like less than the standard deviation that which triggered the trading action. And in order
to, I think, Shimmy, just one thing I'll add in. So for those of you who live in the United States, using on-chain or off-chain grid bots, like on a centralized exchange, generates a tremendous amount of taxable events because the bot is constantly selling and buying whatever asset you're grid trading. So by wrapping it in a vault, you could, just for an example, deposit money into this vault and then wait until either long-term gains or wait until like the next tax year, for example, to like withdraw the money. But all of the activity that happens on chain is not happening within your wallet necessarily, right? Like it's just being stored in the vault, and then you withdraw at the end what your profit is.
Mm.
So this is one of the fundamental reasons why SEFI was bullish and wanted us to work on this. And I definitely understand why, being in America.
Yeah, so I guess that's another perks that we will definitely consider adding on to. And to make it even more effective and juicier, for any park USC, which is not in action, we'll park it in the format of AUSC for maximum capital efficiency as well. And because this is a very liquid strategy, the user will be able to withdraw anytime they desire. However, there is some limitation that we're expecting, that we are doing a lot of simulation to find the optimized strategy to make this happen. One of the biggest limitations that we are trying to crack down is the general inefficiency involved with automated market maker-based decentralized exchange. So because of the automated market maker powered by the liquidity pools, inevitably involves slippage. And we are creating a vault that eats into the high frequency trading of the plus minus, like in very small percentages. Every percent will matter. So we basically have to find a sweet spot where the spread of the volatility is bigger than slippage, and the summation of such difference is bigger than the desired APR, so expected APR of the vault users. In order for that to happen, obviously, the ideal candidate for this pair will inevitably have thick liquidity. And for this kind of activity to often occur, like buy and sell action, the volatility should also be evidence often. So the price action with a heavy volatility, but at the same time, the resulting in a long-term upward trend will also be important, because some shitcoin heading downwards only.
I think we lost you one more time.
We can hear
you. Did it kick me out because I sweat? Or anyway. you would not want to make this a position or down only trend token, because one, the volatility will not be sufficient enough to make the profit, and two, the your ending position will just result in net minus anyway, because the significant portion of your position is in one of the assets that you're betting on. So the ideal candidate is that one with thick liquidity, with heavy volatility, but long-term upward trend and constantly high volume of trading. And it sounds awfully familiar with Luna UST in Terra blockchain. Because Terra blockchain, the growth of Terra blockchain will basically dictate natural increase of the Luna UST pair, because all the incoming and outgoing, or any UST utilizing protocol, will inevitably use Luna UST pair. And because Luna is utilized as a seniority asset to control the UST peg, or maintain the UST peg, the high volatility in short term is inevitable and is healthy for the healthy for the system, for the logic. And such active usage of the pool, because of the above mentioned two reasons, will result in higher fees to attract higher level of liquidity. And since now Astroport is even incentivizing Luna UST pool, the liquidity is now even more juicier. Liquidation farming is even more juicier for Luna USD liquidity farmers. And I guess a lot of lunatics have a general consensus and hypothesis that Luna will moon as well. So that's sort of the in long-term upward trend as well. So that being said, I think the Luna USD is a no-brainer pair that should be worked on for this strategy primarily. The risk, of course, there's a significant risk involved, although I would say it's not as much as the M asset strategy that I have aforementioned. Because this is practically you're exposing yourself partially to the price performance of the asset, for example, like Luna. So you'll be exposed to a similar type of risk that you will be exposed when providing liquidity, like impermanent loss. So simply to put, constant depreciation of the constituting asset may result in principal asset lost. So that's something that you might want to think about before participating in this pool. But this rebalance board, not only that it will bring the benefit for the users, I see quite a few benefit that it's going to bring to the ecosystem because it's a high frequency trading. Such trading and transaction will result in a tax and transaction fee, which will basically be distributed to Luna stakers. And this itself will also become the alternative usage of the liquid Luna on chain. So it just becomes the alternative investment method. And because of the lot of benefit for the individuals and the users, and I think I personally will use it as well, the initial simulation is being built for the strategy to look into very detail what will be the most optimal strategy that should be offered. And we are doing that whilst compiling the necessary smart contract to contract references and Legos to make sure that this strategy can be realized swiftly once the optimized strategy is pinned out. Same as the previous strategies, we would love to hear any feedbacks on this if you have any ideas. And, you know, once this is out, the fluctuations and volatility will work in your favor. So nothing to fear. The volatility will be nothing to fear no longer. And finally, but not finally, but probably most importantly, is our leverage B asset strategy is contributed by Ivan. So we've been picking brains from a lot of committee members, including Sefi and Ivan. And then we are trying to build a strategy what looks interesting and what the community would be in demand. And I think the leverage B asset strategy is something that the lunatics will definitely appreciate. Although we would also love to hear the feedbacks. The high level idea is that utilizing your B Luna collateral is a means to leverage out more Luna. But the way this becomes a little bit more interesting is that rather than taking out the full leverage, like maxing out to 60%, which can be quite dangerous, this strategy such as by Ivan only leveraged up to a certain level, which is considered conceived to be less risky. So for example, one of the example parameters that we are working on is, so once the user deposit B Luna, the Nexus will basically borrow up to 25% of UST and buy B Luna, which will include quite a few routes up, and deposit into as a collateral further and repeat that until the equilibrium is met at 25%. And the remaining the LTV, which Nexus at the moment consider to be safe, relatively safe ratio, which is 48%, the remaining LTV between 48% to 25%, if the additional borrowing yielding strategy is profitable, that part is inefficiency. So by combining with the current logic that we have with Nexus Anchor Borrow Vault, we'll be further optimizing the remaining 23% of LTV by borrowing the UST up to level and utilizing an Anchor Earn and repaying and maintaining the LTV up to the, making sure that it doesn't get liquidated up till the point that you take in the fundamental liquidation risk, which is 25% initial. So, and you also have to be aware that this strategy basically entails that 25% of the BLUNA collateral to be positioned as BLUNA always. So basically, as the price of the Luna goes up, price of BLUNA will also follow, meaning that your collateral value will increase, meaning that there's more room for more Luna to be purchased and collateralized. Whereas downward side will be not so liquid. So there is a fundamental risk of you being liquidated if the price action of BLUNA is dropped more significantly. For that, in order to put some ease in the mind, we are looking into an option to introduce kind of a stop loss function into it. But even with stop loss function, if the price action plays against you below the liquidation points of your 25%, the fundamental risk of losing capital is there. But if you look at the upward, this will be one of the fastest methods to accumulate more Luna, leverage, because you're literally leveraging out on the Luna that you already possess to acquire more Luna in the process. So I think you probably have to find the simulation that Ivan did in his Twitter thread, which is quite fascinating. So there's quite a few simulation tools, it does go in nicely with our UI UX, we'll also consider suggesting any UI simulation tool for you to play around with as well. So yeah, so that's
Shimmy, I think you did an incredible job covering this. I'm just cognizant of time. People have been on for almost an hour now. I do think just maybe briefly we can cover the things that are launching in February. And then if it makes sense, we can open this up for Q&A. I think that might be a nice way to kind of wrap the conversation.
Sure.
So I can actually take us through the last few things, if that's fine with you.
Yeah,
okay, cool. And what I'm talking about, guys, is at the very bottom of the forum, if you're following along, there's a piece of text that says, additionally, we're progressing well on key initiatives and features previously announced. Maybe we'll bucket this a little bit differently. But the first one here is accumulation of protocol and liquidity, and then two others that we'll get to in a minute. In terms of accumulation of protocol and liquidity, this is actually going pretty much on pace with what we communicated as sort of our targets, which is depicted in the visual that's pasted in the forum. On a monthly basis, we'll be posting updates on how protocol on liquidity is going, how we're accumulating assets, and then how that ultimately is working towards our goal of owning our own liquidity and reducing the emissions rate of Psi. So that's maybe the update there. The second thing here, integration of the assets, the asset holdings in our N asset vaults. So there has been, at various different points in time, depending on the price of Luna, the yield that's coming from just holding BLUNA in Anchor can vary, also based on the net distribution rate of Anchor. And at times, just holding BLUNA in your wallet could yield higher than the yield distribution that you can receive from being inside of the Nexus vault. We want to eliminate that from being possible. So basically we're updating our vaults to make sure that if you're in the Nexus vaults in the Anchor Borrow vaults, you're essentially earning the highest possible APY on those positions as you can. So if that means that you're just holding B assets without borrowing against them in your wallet, because let's say the net distribution rate in Anchor is too high or too low, then our vault switch back to executing the borrow strategy that we've put in place right now. So the reason we're making that update is so that users don't have to worry about is the money that I have in Nexus, is it optimized in terms of getting APY or return on my in my Luna position, or any other B assets for that matter. The next thing, or I guess the last thing, is ETH Nexus V1 and also the N Asset Auto Compounder. So I think ETH Nexus at this point has been fairly well documented. Basically, it's an easy to use interface for Ethereum users to convert native ETH on Ethereum to NETH on Terra and vice versa. As a part of this product, and we've also announced this earlier as well, as a part of this product, we'll be updating our vaults to allow for the option for users to compound their yield back into the native B assets they've deposited. And this is really just driven based on a bunch of feedback that we've received since launch, which is, you know, hey, guys, Sai is great, but I really want to stack Luna, right? So like if I deposit B Luna into the Nexus Anchor Borrow vault, I want to receive my yield in Luna. And even better, if I can receive my yield auto-compounded back into more N Luna, which is like creating more and more N Luna, then that's really like the ideal setup. So that's just an update there. I think, like we've mentioned down below, so you can see expected update February of 2022. So our target is to launch or ship both of those things within the next few weeks or within February. And that kind of concludes our presentation for today. Hopefully you guys are excited about what we've shared. We've worked extremely hard on this, and we're going to continue to work extremely hard on this. With that, I'd love to kind of field any questions that you guys have, or, you know, listen to any feedback that you might have about this. I know it's a ton of information, so I appreciate your guys' patience as we kind of walk through this. Yeah, and thank you, Ivan, again for hosting this and letting us come and talk to your community.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this for the community and for in our different discussions that we've had. I really enjoyed the time together and how you said that you guys are shifting your focus to bringing the ideas of the community to life. And I think that's such a cool concept. I was just like, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about different ideas, you know, in on Twitter and in our Discord, but they say, we don't know how to program, we don't know how to do those kind of things. And it's almost like you guys are taking the first steps of taking these ideas and kind of programming it so that these ideas can come to life. And it's so that I think that's going to be a huge benefit to the whole ecosystem. So thanks for what you guys do. It's really cool. If Orbital Command, any of the guys from Orbital Command have any input, I'd love to hear your input, and then we can open up to the whoever else has questions.
Yeah, thanks. No, I think you guys did an excellent job of overviewing, you know, your updated product roadmap, and you guys have some really interesting stuff coming down the pike. I'm really excited for, you know, the launch of some of these things. I don't know if Shah from Orbital Command has any thoughts or anything he wants to add, but I had some questions about some of the stuff that we can get to in a bit.
Yeah, I thought it was a great presentation. The only thing I was going to say is I think that like this in particular would be a great thing to kind of have, like, you know, maybe Rebel DeFi or Danku R, one of the other video guys, or maybe the Nexus team yourselves, like make some video content that's like kind of goes through these one at a time, because I think you guys have all been thinking about these strategies for a while and you know, or coming up with them, and it was a lot, and I was like, you know, I don't know, I'm a small brain, not a big brain, so maybe it'd be better to, I think the community is going to need some time to process these vaults because they're really cool.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, and we're really, you know, close friends with Danku, so we'll definitely be partnering with them. This is, I knew this was going to be a data dump for everybody. but at some point we needed to do the data dump. Otherwise, you know, just stays inside of our little four walls. So, I said, I appreciate your guys' kind of patience as we walk through all this stuff. And we definitely will be breaking down and have specific conversations about each product, you know, in more of like a visual format, and like over time as development continues to happen and we get closer to shipping, there'll be more specific content that's dedicated to each specific product. Cause I think, as you probably noticed, you could probably spend like an hour on each one of these. Yeah, exactly. Just going super deep, trying to understand why I would use it, all the risks, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll definitely take the time to do that as we move along here, but wanted to intro you to like the whole process of this forum and trying to kind of like get people acclimated with this being our new roadmap.
Yeah, no, it's great. Should we, I guess, open it up to the community and see what questions people have?
Yep, that sounds great. We've got our first speaker, VLTR.
Hello. Hey, guys. What's up? I just want to first of all say on behalf of everyone, thank you so much for your continued commitment to the community. I mean, this stuff is absolutely unbelievable and game-changing for the world and life-changing ultimately. So I'm in the B-Lunar vault myself and I use Nexus. I think it's great. I just have a question though. So I'm really looking forward to leverage B asset strategy. I haven't decided to do the strategy myself because I'm just worried about being liquidated basically. So I wanted to ask, like, is there still a possibility of being liquidated or not? Because maybe I've just misunderstood. But is there really any risk of that by using the pool on Nexus when it comes out?
For the leverage B asset that you just mentioned, you did understand it correctly that there is a fundamental risk of being liquidated, because the one of the reason being is that you're utilizing part of your LTV in a less liquid format of asset, which will be in B-Luna. So at the same time, you are exposing yourself to a bigger output when the Luna price goes down. It will be more difficult to close your position when you're moving downwards. And also, selling your B-Luna to protect your position may not work in the favor for yourself. If that was the case, I don't think this is a product that you would be wanting anyway. So for that logic, I think the B asset leveraging strategy will inevitably involve liquidation. Of course, we'll try to suggest most sensible data points, looking at the past data to give them ideas. What will be the most, the risk involved in, what kind of Luna price you should be expecting to avoid.
So I think, like, from our point of view, goal as we start to introduce more risk on strategies, because currently the current vaults that we have are very defensive in nature. You know, there's very limited risk of liquidation, but you're also not doing anything like super aggressive with your assets either. So as we start to build out more of these labs products that are going to have higher sort of risk thresholds, I think the main focus from us is going to be like, how do we communicate those risks to our user base and make sure that people understand kind of what they're getting into before they get into it. But that's where we're going to really partner with people like Lunomics and Cephi and Danku and people like that to help kind of explain those different things. So I see, Ivan, you have your hand raised slightly. What's going on, man?
No, I just wanted to ask, what do you think the timeline is for these vaults to, like Cephi's vault and my vault to hit the market?
I love that you're already wrapping your arms around it, man. You're like, this is my vault. You might as well just like call it Lunomics on the UI. That's awesome. I'm hesitant to share expected timelines, and the reason is because if I do, our development team is gonna come to my house and probably kill me in my sleep. So I can't share. I can't share. Although I really want to be able to share, like a quarter projection on when these things will be live. It's a little too early to say, but we are working to get that a little bit more refined. And once we do, we'll update the community accordingly.
Okay. I just want to inject one thing. VLTR, you might not have been on in the beginning, but next week I'm going to have a space with Ed Plaskel, the guy that did the one of the spreadsheet revisions. And that space is going to go pretty deep into risk management and stress testing the strategy of using the increasing borrowed amount of B Luna as Luna goes up to purchase more Luna. We've stress tested things in Excel, and we're looking at how to mitigate risk
so that you don't get liquidated even in the event of a 78% pullback. So that's going to be a super good space for anybody that wants to protect their downside using this strategy. And maybe we could even talk to Nexus on how to do that, how to program that into the vault. So, yeah.
For sure.
I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for your efforts, by the way.
Just to mention that, we would love to continue to work with you to refine this as more ideas come to the table.
Awesome. We'll go with our next question and speaker. Thank you, VLTR. Next one that we have is Simon.
Hi, you can hear me?
Yep. We got you.
Thank you. Well, thanks for letting me ask a question. I was wondering about the money market you talked about for the LPs. Has there been any thought into like looping the borrowed assets back into the pool? Because, right, as a farmer, it's kind of something that I find an interesting possibility, right? Because, naturally, when you get rewards, you would auto compound, right? Put them back into your LP position. But then, if you can do it on borrowed assets as well, it seems to me like it's a very powerful thing to be able to do. Do you have any thoughts about allowing people looping your money market? Because I know some money markets really don't like that when people loop.
Yeah, so I think Shimmy mentioned it earlier as he was walking through it. Like, this is basically a core primitive, creating a money market that allows people to borrow against their LP positions. And so once a core primitive is created, we can build other structured products on top that do what you're describing, and maybe also potentially other things as well. So if there's a demand for it, and this is kind of like the overarching theme for Nexus, like if there's a demand for it, if people want to use it, and we think that it's profitable, after we do, significant research to determine profitability, then we'll assess it amongst our other priorities and, it'll probably get worked on at some point.
Okay, and I had another question, if that's okay. Concerning the current Nexus vaults, where my understanding is the loan taken against the B assets that are deposited in the vaults are basically earning yield through the anchor earn. Has there been any thought into using the AUST perhaps as kind of leverage as a collateral to in another strategy, like for example the previously mentioned delta neutral mirror strategy, or maybe even in Kujira to get some discounted assets?
Yeah, that's a great question. Shimmy, did you catch all that? I'm wondering if you
for the Kujira side, we definitely want to, we are definitely exploring the pot and to make the USC operation side more efficient. And so, yeah, that's something that we are definitely exploring. And if there's anything that we can concretely make announcement, we'll do it in the nearest occasion.
Okay. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, we've definitely got some questions. Mandive, you're next.
Hey, thank you, guys. I don't have many questions. Maybe answer to the first one might lead to another one, but I haven't contributed to any yet for Nexus. If you have to give me like a pitch for like in two lines why I should use Nexus with other competitors out there, that would be great.
Why you should use Nexus amongst other competitors out there? I think probably, do your own research on APRs, APYs, and liquidity would be the other thing that I would take a look at. But I would leave that up to you to kind of do some research on what else you can do with your Luna. There's a lot of different options now. So, yeah. I mean, in the future, I think one thing I could mention here is like, and I think Yearn does a really good job at this. This is like really the original concept of Yearn was you deposit an asset like ETH, for example, and they basically assess a bunch of different strategies that are on chain. And they say, all right, well, if this is the best strategy at this given moment in time, then we'll just deploy users ETH into this strategy and then update that strategy if the best place to, create yield from ETH on chain moves to somewhere else. that's kind of what we're doing with one of the updates that we shared on the asset vault upgrades, where like if it's more profitable at a moment in time to hold just the assets without any leverage in your anchor, you know, within anchor, then that's what we'll do. And then we'll switch back to borrowing if it becomes more profitable. So most profitable, the reality is the most profitable yield method for Luna does change depending on the price of Luna, depends on net distribution for Anchor. So, you know, at this point, it is something that you need to kind of like assess on an ongoing basis to figure out what's the most profitable strategy. But like I was mentioning about Yearn, I think one of the goals that I definitely have for us is, you know, for users, for N Luna to basically represent the best yielding liquid form of Luna that exists on the Terra blockchain. And so like, regardless of if that's the Anchor borrow strategy or of a different strategy, like you don't really have to know about all that. You just deposit money into Nexus and like we create like optimal strategy for you.
Thank you so much for the explanation. Next question and speaker that we have is Elo Chewy. Elo Chewy.
Hey guys, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for the super informative, I guess, roadmap update. Very excited to kind of finally get to use some of these new products you guys are launching. My question for the team is, perhaps at a high level, could you guys talk about how these new products accrue value back to the site token itself?
Yeah, for sure. This is a great question. And I knew we were going to get some question, at least one question about this. So I can't go into a ton of detail on this call because it's still being kind of worked on. But what I can say is like our team is definitely aware that like the current token design of Sai could be improved. And maybe that's maybe that's an ongoing thing where there can kind of constantly be improvements that can be made. What I will say is like one of the main goals for us is to better orient / align holders of Sai tokens with the long-term goals of the protocol, which is to be more profitable. So I can't, like I said, I can't go into too much detail about it yet because it's that part of our development roadmap is still sort of being worked on and it's very sensitive. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, we'll probably be raising it soon, at least a proposal on how we think we could change the token design of Sai, and which will lead to a better accrual value. So I'm sorry I can't go into a ton of detail about it right now, but we're definitely aware that there could be some improvements that could be made, and we're actively working on that.
Cool. Thank you. And do you have kind of a general timeline of perhaps when this announcement could potentially be made?
Yeah, I would say probably within the next. I hesitate to even give you a timeline because I know I'm going to get yelled at afterwards. So I would just say like it'll be relatively soon. I'll have to leave it at that for now.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your questions.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to take one question on the thread that I have posted. One question,
hey guys,
by Brent.
I got to hop off real quick. Just wanted to say that. Thanks for the space, though, Nexus guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
So the question that we have by Brent G UST on Twitter is, how do these strategies manage Oracle risk?
Which strategy because I guess there are quite a few strategy and a lot of it doesn't include Oracle. I'm just curious which one is he referring to. I
want to take this as this question, and sorry, Jazzer, I'll let you finish in 1 second, but I do want to take this question opportunity just to reemphasize the first thing I mentioned, which is we're moving away from like thinking of Nexus as a anti-liquidation, you know, protocol where like basically, and I think this is actually related to one of the first questions that we got too. So initial product for Nexus was an anti-liquidation bot, and we're going to continue to improve that and refine that over time. But as we kind of look out ahead to the future, we're going to be working on products that don't resemble like the first product that we've launched, for example. And so like Nexus hopefully becomes sort of like the brain hub for DeFi on Terra, where people with different ideas on how to create, you know, basically values in DeFi can come and they can partner with us. We have resources, we have developers who actually, you know, can build things in smart contracts. And so long as there's demand, so long as it's profitable, you know, we're going to be open to building a lot of different things. And those things will probably be, will fall within one of the three product categories we mentioned at the beginning, which are vaults, labs, and the money market. So sorry, Jazzer, I had to mention that.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for the clarification. Shimmy, I did tag you in some of the open questions that are in the thread. So if you want to respond to them offline, because we will be taking our final question and wrapping up the show. So any of the other speakers and some of the other questions that there are, we apologize we couldn't get to them. So the last question and the last speaker that we have is CodeHands. CodeHands1.
Hey, thanks. I've got a question from the other side of the fence, really. I love the LP money market. It's a bit of a big brain idea, I think. There's a bit of a move towards protocol and liquidity, right? And I feel like, yeah, I'm going to talk about liquidations. The liquidation side of an LP money market lends itself towards a protocol acquiring protocol and liquidity more efficiently. Is that something that had been considered as part of this?
So are you asking whether the fee that we are collecting from the LP money market will be translating to POL eventually? Or
no, so you know, if a, you know, the QG UST pair was on the money market and us at Kajira could buy that LP token at a discount during liquidations, then it becomes kind of a some kind of balance thing where okay, you know, there's a liquidation but there's a bit of an upside there for the protocol.
Got it. I see what you mean. I mean, if I had more time, I would love to go into more details of the money market architecture. I think it's gonna naturally explain your questions. But the TLDR is that rather than making the liquidation into liquidation participant market, we're gonna automate it for maximum efficiency, so that people who get liquidated will lose out the least, and the protocol can ensure that the loan is not defaulted. And one of the reasons why we can afford to do that is because of the characteristic of the LP token I aforementioned, which is less volatile than a single token collateralization.
Cool. Yeah, it'd be good to catch up. I followed you. You could follow me back, have a chat. It'd be good to talk.
Fantastic.
Cool. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. And thanks, Nexus, for putting this together. Super excited about this new direction that you guys are going in with labs, vaults, and money market. It seems that what you guys are doing is putting different categories together for different risk profiles, as well as different reward profiles, and then putting those things together so that it's a hands-off approach for people that are, just want to get into a certain one of these categories. And then just the thing that you mentioned about limiting your tax liability because you're not doing it yourself, but you're doing it through a vault. I think that's huge, huge value to the community, and really looking forward to the new ideas that are coming on board. I also want to say thanks to Orbital Command for putting together our Discord. If you're not on the Discord, check it out. There's like 1,700 people that joined in the past week, and I'm not on there a lot, but if... What I do is when I jump on, I look for mentions of my name and I'll just go in and answer those questions. I also want to say thank you to Uniracer. He's been, you know, studying the pinned tweets and everything that I've put out on the pinned tweet index document. And he's there all the time answering questions for anybody who's new. And there's on the Lunanomics, I can't even say it, but on the Lunanomics Twitter, there's like several hundred people a day that are joining. So if you're here and you're new, go through the pinned tweets, read through those things. If you have questions, jump on the Discord, ask questions. There's super helpful people like Uniracer and others that are moderating, and they'll answer your questions there. Super, looking forward to the growth of the Terra ecosystem and how we can, help others, onboard others to understand how to use these protocols in a responsible way. And next week, we have two spaces that are coming out. One space is going to be with Ed Plasko. He's put together a spreadsheet, kind of refined the spreadsheet that I put out on the
the tweet of the 2022 strategy of stacking Luna with more Luna. But he went into detail on that. And what we're going to do tomorrow, we realized that we put together a spreadsheet that just showed the upside, but we really want to highlight how to limit your risk on the downside. And so we're putting together a spreadsheet that is pretty involved on how to limit your risk all the way down to a 75 to 78% correction. And so if you want to have a game plan that's on a spreadsheet that you can see what you need to do at every single risk level so that you don't get liquidated all the way down to 75%, you're going to really want to jump into that space. We're going to provide that spreadsheet for you to look at and to follow along with us. It's not one that's easily understood. So you're going to want to have that spreadsheet out, look at it, and follow along as it's being explained. So that's going to be, I think, the second most valuable post that I do this year. The first one was looking at the upside. This one is really limiting your downside. So jump into that space. And then I'm going to also have a just kind of like a shoot the breeze space with Danku R. I don't know if you guys have seen us going back and forth this past week, but we've been having conversations offline, and that's going to be a fun one. He's gonna share his strategy and investments, and I'll share mine, and it will be fun. So keep your eye out for those. I'm going to be putting the announcements on for next week, and that's it. So thank you guys. Thank you, Nexus. Thank you, Orbital Command, for putting the Discord together, and I look forward to seeing you guys all next week. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Nexus Reveals New Vault Strategy Space, hosted by Luna Omix and Orbital Command. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Watching these debates, like, what a bunch of noise. When the illusion of choice outmaneuvers your voices, no one really knows what the fuck is going on here. Sitting in the bunker, waiting for the all clear. It's like we're getting steered towards the motherfucking iceberg. Captain all drunk, deciphering where the ice lurks. And we thought 2020 was gonna be a nice year. Living with the plague, like, who brought the mice here? Try to think of it as another simulation. Game full of bugs, but it's still fun to play. It's like we're aliens, beta testing Earth. Digging in the dirt, trying to earn a little girth. The beast is silent when it defeats the riders. Living outside, trying to meet this virus. If you wanna watch it all burn from the sky rise, delete the science and increase the righteous. Living like a jerk, return to feed the worms. Vibing like a tree, just breathing out the words. Be careful outside, them police is violent. Feeling like I finally earned some peace and quiet.
Nice
down to eat a little piece of pie first, trying to be the fat kid you least admire. Feast of fire when the beasts of burden are getting all bored, but at least we're certain we found the imposter living among us, fussing with hunches. Another big chungus bludgeon. Don't worry, the fungus will clean up the guts and get us to function on fleeting assumptions. I see through the rust from rush to rush. Now we're stacked up like a bunch of junk, so hush your muff before we stuff your luck and break your fucking neck to this like bust a bust. Bleeding impulsive, the meeting controls it. When breathing corrosive, no eating the bullshit. Feeling the worth like it's gonna be a good year. Now we're all tired, stop treading on the work here.
It's the best.
Spaces.